Welcome to Torah Timecha HaVtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Parshas Naso, we read the HaVtorah from Sefer Shoftim, chapter 13, verses 2 to 25. This is the beginning of the story of Shimshon, and it is unique. The Navi tells us Shimshon's story all the way from before his birth, beginning with his parents when they were still childless, and their remarkable encounter with the angel who foretold his arrival. We meet Manoach and his wife. Let us begin the story. Manoach and his wife are without children. One day, a malach appears to Eshes Manoach, the wife of Manoach, and tells her, "You are barren, an akara, but you will bear a child, and he will be special. He is to be a nazir from the womb. Because of that, you must also act differently. Be careful about what you eat and drink. And when he is born, do not cut his hair. Do not let him become tamei by contact with the dead. He is to be a nazir." Verse 5. Ki hinachara v'yaladet ben umora lo ya'aleh al rosho, ki nazir elokim yihyeh ha'na'ar min habaten. You are to conceive and bear a son. Let no razor touch his head. For this boy is to be a nazir to God from the womb on. And then the angel adds one more thing, perhaps the most incredible part. V'hu yachel lahoshias Yisrael miyad plishtim. This child will begin to save B'nai Yisrael from the plishtim. Although we don't read it in the Haftorah itself, verse 1 of the chapter tells us that once again the Jewish people have sinned, and they have been oppressed by the plishtim for 40 years. Yes, we are deep into the painful Shoftim cycle of sin, punishment, teshuvah, salvation, and then sin again. Except this time, even with the oppression, even with the pain caused by the plishtim, the Jewish people do not do teshuvah. And this will explain some of the unusual ways this salvation of Shimshon will come about. Eshes Manoach goes immediately to tell her husband about the angel's message, but she omits some key details. Strikingly, she does not mention the part about their child saving the Jewish people. Manoach prays to Hashem. Vayetar Manoach el Hashem vayomar, "Be Hashem, ish halukim asher shalachta yevona od ilenu, v'yorenu manaseh lenar hayulad." Manoach pleaded with Hashem. "Oh, my Hashem," he said, "please let the angel of God that you sent come to us again, and let him instruct us how to act with the child that is to be born." You can imagine Manoach's feelings. Overwhelmed and unprepared, how does one raise such a child? Hashem listens and sends the malach back. But once again, ironically, the angel appears only to Tzalponis. She quickly runs to get Manoach, and this time, he sees the angel too. Manoach asks for instructions, and the angel replies, "Everything I told your wife she must observe." Manoach offers the angel food, not yet fully understanding who or what he is. The angel refuses to eat, and instructs them instead to offer a korban to Hashem. When they do, the offering and the angel ascend in flames. Only then do Manoach and his wife truly process what they had just experienced. And Manoach says, "Vayomer Manoach el ishto, mos namus, ki Elokim ra'inu. We shall surely die, for we have seen a divine being." To have interacted with an angel, a totally spiritual being, how awesome and petrifying. But his wife answers with calm, clarity, and emunah. "Had Hashem meant to kill us, he would not have accepted our karban, shown us all this, and told us such things." The Haftorah concludes with Shimshon's birth, Hashem's blessing, and the beginning of his life as a shofet and savior. The connection is clear. In Parshas Naso, we read the laws of the Nazir, and in our Haftorah, we meet one, Shimshon. But Shimshon is no ordinary Nazir. Most people choose Naziros voluntarily and for a set time. Shimshon's was divinely imposed, and it was lifelong. His story is complex, dramatic, and powerful. Entire Midrashim and Sugyos in Chazal are dedicated to understanding his life. Even the brachos given by both Yaakov and Moshe to Shevet Dan are understood by Chazal to refer to Shimshon. And in our Parshas Naso, the gift brought by the Nasi of Dan also reflects themes of Shimshon and his Naziras, according to Medrash Rabbah. But I would like to focus my words not on Shimshon, but on his mother. Although in Sefer Shoftim she is only called Eshes Manoach, the wife of Manoach, Chazal in Bamidbar Rabbah 10 tell us that her name was Tzlel Ponis, a woman from Shevet Yehuda who is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim chapter 4. While Manoach was from Dan, his wife Tzlel Ponis came from Yehuda, and her name is interpreted to mean the one who faced an angel. The Navi gives us just a few key details about her here, just enough to reveal her quiet greatness. Through these details, we begin to understand why she was the one chosen to raise a child as spiritually charged and complex as Shimshon. And perhaps her story feels especially relevant now, with Shavuos still visible in our rearview mirror. The holiday when we stood at Har Sinai and committed ourselves to Torah, when everything felt clear and elevated. Now that we're stepping back into the day-to-day, we're looking for ways to hold on to that clarity, to make it practical and lasting. We mentioned that when she tells her husband about the angelic experience she had, she leaves out perhaps the most exciting and important part. He will save the Jewish people. Why? Alshech explains that she withholds this not out of deception, but out of sensitivity. She understood that Manoach might feel small, even embarrassed, that this revelation came to her and not to him. So she protects his feelings. Now we understand why she focuses on the part of the message that was relevant to her. This provided a believable answer to the question, why her? It was her life that would need to change immediately, her diet and behavior, because she was carrying a fetus that must be a Nazir. Let's pause and think about that. Imagine experiencing this awesome revelation. Imagine seeing an angel and then being given a message of such magnitude. You're going to be a mother. Your prayers are answered. And not only that, your child will save the Jewish people. How many of us would stop to think, how will my husband feel when I tell him this? Will this hurt him? Does that even matter? But Tzlel Ponis does. In her words, we see a remarkable ability to ground herself. Yes, she is shaken, moved, inspired, but she is also aware. She considers her husband, and she speaks with restraint and wisdom and sensitivity. She quietly asks the question, what is the best thing I can do right now? Later, when they both see the angel ascend in fire, Manoach falls apart. We will surely die, for we have seen a divine being. But again, she is steady. She calmly, wisely reassures him. Had Hashem wanted to kill us, he would not have accepted our offering or shown us these things. In all of these, Tzlel Ponis shows us what it means to live with clarity in confusion, calm in chaos, strength in uncertainty. She is someone who keeps her face towards the angel, not just literally, but spiritually. Her name becomes her legacy. One who can stand before an angel and still remain fully human, fully grounded. It is the ability to say, what is the right thing right now? This theme connects powerfully to the broader message of Parshas Naso, where we learn about the laws of the Nazir. What is a Nazir? A Nazir is someone who steps back from the murky noise of everyday life, the confusions, the desires, the endless distractions, and says, I need clarity. I need space to realign with what matters most. As Rav Hirsch explains, the Nazir is like a temporary Kohen Gadol, for a short time, Kadosh Lashem, consecrated to God. Just like the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz, which declared his holiness openly, the Nazir wears his commitment in the visible signs of his abstention. And just like the Kohen Gadol cannot become Tameh, neither can the Nazir. He is living a life of intense focus, even for a short time. Because sometimes, to remember who we are, we need to remove ourselves from the swirl of the world. And this brings us back to Shimshon, whose entire life was meant to be one of Nizirus. Shimshon lived a confusing, turbulent life. From birth, he was caught in the cross currents of strength and vulnerability, passion and purpose, inner calling and external chaos. His Nizirus was not a choice. It was placed upon him by God. Why? Because he needed that level of clarity to carry out his mission, a mission that demanded a fierce, unwavering inner compass. Now imagine being the woman who would need to raise this very unique child. I believe that there is a relevant and important message for us as well. Most of us aren't raising a child like Shimshon, but we are all trying to do so much. Many of us are raising children who are each unique worlds. We are nurturing relationships, supporting our communities, building careers, and striving for our own personal and spiritual growth. We hold so many dreams and face so many distractions. There are roadblocks, conflicting messages, and constant demands on our time and hearts. It can feel overwhelming, even untenable, to do everything we feel we must. After experiencing the holiday of Shavuos, we all, so to speak, stood at the mountain and said our own Na'aseh V'Nishma. But how to make it real? How to hold on to the angelic experience of clarity? I believe that Tzlel Panis provides grounding and comforting guidance. She teaches us to ask a simple yet profound question that can help us stay focused on what's truly important. What does Hashem want from me right now? What is the very best thing I can do in this situation right now? Not in 10 years, not even tomorrow, just right now, in this moment, because the big things in life aren't really big. They're made up of small, deliberate choices, and I can start making those choices right now. Thank you for learning together.